Hey, buddy.
Charlie.
Ready for a fun weekend?
He's not going to have a fun weekend, Charlie. He's going to study for a history test on Monday.
Well, if believing that gets you back in your car, I'll play along.
Where's Alan?
He's not here.
Really? I told him I was on my way.
That might be why he's not here.
Okay, I'll just have to go over everything with you. I'm going to visit my parents for a few days, so I won't be picking Jake up till Wednesday. That means Alan has to take him to school. Monday is soccer practice. He has his math tutor and his guitar teacher on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, hang on.
Charlie disappears. When he finally re-emerges, he's got Alan. He dumps Alan in front of Judith and goes over to the sofa.
Oh, hi, Judith.
Alan, why are you avoiding me?
I'm not avoiding you as much as...
hiding.
Alan turns to him.
Thank you.
Why were you hiding?
Why does the wounded gazelle hide from the stealthy jaguar?
They stare at Charlie.
Why does the helpless piglet hide from the ravenous wolverine?
They look perplexed.
Animal planet. You learn a lot.
We need to talk about your pain in the ass mother.
I would love to, but as Charlie told you, I'm not here.
I let her take Jake out to dinner, and when she brought him home, she lectured me for 15 minutes about his dirty ears.
15 minutes, huh?
How long is this gonna take?
Like I'm a bad parent. Let her try and get a Q-tip in a squirming 11-year-old boy's ear.
Mom didn't believe in Q-tips. She had a squirt gun.
You know, the woolly meerkat of Western Africa buries her cubs up to their necks and licks their ears clean. What? It seemed apropos.
You need to tell your mother if she wants to spend time with her grandson, she needs to back off.
Okay, I'll tell her.
Thank you.
And I'll tell Alan you stop by.
Alan closes the door in Judith's face. In golden white letters on a black background, the title, 2½ Men. Alan's helping Jake revise.
Okay, Lewis and Clark explored what?
I don't remember.
You just read that chapter.
Yeah, but Lewis and Clark was a long time ago.
Charlie swaggers in.
Thanks for the ride, Sally. Getting me home, too.
Charlie smirks.
Why is that funny?
It's not.
Mustang Sally!
Giddy up! Now, Lewis and Clark.
Face Dad, I'm just not good at history.
Oh, really? What'd you have for lunch yesterday?
A pizza square. Actually, 2 pizza squares, an ice cream sandwich, and a bag of Skittles.
Okay, see? That's history.
And a ding-dong and a diet root beer.
Great.
Wait, it wasn't a ding-dong, it was a ho-ho.
Charlie slumps on the sofa.
You know what I like? Those big pink things with coconut.
Snowballs?
Exactly. Can you still get those?
Yeah, but not at the supermarket. You have to go to 7-Eleven.
Thank you. Alan, will you drive me to 7-Eleven?
No, we are trying to study.
All right, I'll hoof it. Can I bring you back something?
Ding-dong.
Who's there?
Charlie, I'm trying to get him ready for his test.
Sorry. You go ahead. I'll pretend I'm not here.
Okay. Lewis and Clark explored what?
Louisiana Purchase.
Alan looks miffed.
Right.
I knew that.
Yeah, but Uncle Charlie buzzed first.
And I'm still buzzed.
Alan rolls his eyes.
Okay, give me another question.
All right. Seward's Folly is another name for... Jake.
Alaska.
Ah, very good.
Oh, I was going to say Mrs. Seward.
Charlie smirks.
Okay, the score is 1-1.
Well, now that you mention it, an Eskimo pie would go down pretty good right now. Alan, will you drive me to 7-Eleven?
No. Next question. The War of 1812...
1812.
No.
1813.
Let me finish the question. The War of 1812 was fought against whom?
The British.
Very good. 2-1, Jake.
Well, fair. My buzzer's broken.
Next question.
Let me try yours. See? His works.
Charlie and Jake are on the sofa, both pretending to hold a buzzer.
All right, contestants. We are at the final round. The questions are worth more, and the answers are harder.
Charlie looks spaced out.
Wait for a question.
Okay.
Here we go. Name 3 changes in American life brought about by the Industrial Revolution.
Population shift to the cities, employment moving from farms to factories, and...
Yes.
Sorry, I hit it by mistake.
Send him out of the way.
champion!
Yes!
Send him into the West.
See, Jake, you know this stuff.
Yeah, guess I do.
Well, trust me, you are going to do great on that test.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, you're welcome. Now go get ready for bed. I'll be there in a minute to tuck you in.
Okie dokie.
Charlie gets up and staggers out. Daytime. Charlie opens the door to his mum, who's dressed in a purple suit.
Oh, I gotta get a security camera.
Where's your brother? I want to talk to him.
He's not here.
Oh, really?
No, he's actually not here.
You know what his ex-wife said to me?
Mom, please go away.
She never calls me Mom, but that was the gist of it. I took Jake out to dinner.
You're just pretending not to understand me, right?
Right. And all I did was suggest to Judith that she might want to pay a little more attention to her son's ear hygiene. Not only was she completely unappreciative, but she had the nerve to denigrate how I raise my sons.
Yeah, because we turned out so well.
Excuse me, but whatever emotional issues you think you have, I kept your ears spotless.
I remember. You used the same super soaker to keep us off the furniture.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting noted scholar and A student, Jake Harper.
Jake trots in holding his test paper above his head.
You got an A?
I got an A.
All right, way to go.
Congratulations, Jake.
Thanks, Grandma. It's my first day this year.
Really? Well, it's not too soon then.
Mom, leave it alone.
I'm not saying anything. I think it's wonderful. Did anybody else in your class get an A?
Almost everybody. Why?
Oh, I was just curious as to how hard the test was.
It doesn't matter, Mom. Still an A.
And an A is very nice. I just don't know why you're making such a big fuss if they're just handing them out like rubella vaccinations.
No, looks like a pretty hard test to me.
No, it was easy.
Yeah, that's because you studied. You earned that A.
Wendy Cho got an A+.
You hear that? Wendy Cho got an A+.
Wendy Cho is a freak of nature. She cloned a goldfish for the science fair. We can't compare Jake to her.
Well, who should we compare him to then? The paste eaters and the unibrows? Darling, if you set the bar low in childhood, he may never reach the heights he's capable of. You're condemning him to a life of failure and mediocrity. Is that what you want, Jake? A life of failure and mediocrity? No? You see, he may well be sharper than you give him credit for.
I'm gonna go to my room.
I am putting that A paper up on the fridge.
Wow, Texas used to be a separate country.
Charlie's sitting on the sofa examining Jake's history paper.
Why'd we change that?
Not now, Charlie. How dare you?
Excuse me?
He worked hard on that test. He was finally feeling good about himself and his abilities, and in less than 30 seconds, you managed to suck every bit of self-esteem out of him. You're like a
self-esteem sucker.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and I was just having a conversation with the boy.
No, you don't have conversations. You
suck self-esteem.
Alan turns to Charlie and waggles his finger.
I would have gotten it. Mom, I'm sorry, but I don't think I want you around my son anymore.
What?
You heard me. I will not have you do to him what you did to me and Charlie.
What did I do to you and Charlie?
What did you do? What did she do? Charlie, tell her.
Why tell her when we can show her?
Charlie puts his arm on his brother's shoulder and the duo stare at their mother.
I see. So you're both turning against me.
No, I turned a long time ago. Alan's just catching up.
All right. If I'm not welcome here, I'll leave.
Charlie and Alan stand watching and waiting. She stands in the doorway.
My own sons are throwing me out.
Charlie puts his hand back on Alan's shoulder.
Goodbye.
This isn't over, is it?
No, we're screwed. Let me guess. Mom.
She's been calling all morning. I'm starting to feel a little guilty.
You can't show weakness, Alan. She'll sense it. Like the hooded cobra senses the rapid heartbeat of a panic-stricken kangaroo rat.
Alan looks perplexed.
But don't you feel even a little bit sorry for her?
Does the mongoose feel sorry for the wounded garden snake? Does the dingo feel sorry for the slow-crawling Australian baby?
Rose is on the balcony.
You guys okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're fine. Why?
Your mother just called me. She said she's been trying to reach you all morning, and she's very worried.
We're fine, Rose.
We're just not talking to her.
Why? Because she tried to encourage Jake to live up to his potential? That's a reason to throw her out and slam the door in her face? How could you be so cruel to your own mother?
And the dingo has found another Australian baby.
They watch Rose crying.
Rose, that's not what happened. We were protecting Jake.
How? By ripping his only grandmother out of his life?
He has another grandmother.
Oh, right, the Sacramento pill freak.
Is that what she told you? Well, for the record, Jake's other grandmother is out of rehab and doing just fine.
We appreciate your concern, Rose. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, so now you're just gonna slam the door in my face?
Pretty much.
Rose stands on the balcony and looks in.
Not as satisfying with a glass door.
Okay, first she starts with phone calls, then she sent Rose over. Wonder what's next?
I don't know, but I'm betting it'll be something big.
Bulky Berta is on the phone.
Right. I understand, it's terrible. Okay, let me see what I can do about it. How in the hell did your mother get my cell phone number?
The brothers look at each other. Charlie and Alan are on the sofa watching telly.
Sometimes when the nest is threatened, these seemingly docile creatures have been known to eat their own young.
Hey, did Mom call you at the office today?
No. She call here?
No. It's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. Maybe too quiet.
And here we see the female praying mantis after copulation devouring her mate.
Your ex-wife back from her parents?
Yeah, I dropped Jake off with her this afternoon. Apparently her mom had a little relapse with the pills.
Oh, yeah?
They found her in her pajamas driving an imaginary car through the home and garden section of the local Walmart.
How could they tell she was driving an imaginary car?
She rolled down the window to ask for directions to the pharmacy. Ah.
Charlie puts down his beer and grabs the phone.
Not Mom. Hello? Yeah, this is Charlie Harper. What? I see. Okay, then. Thanks for letting me know.
Who is that?
St. John's Hospital. Apparently our mother checked herself in early this evening with chest pains and breathing difficulties.
Oh, my God!
Ever wonder who was the first guy to put pineapple on pizza?
Alan stares at Charlie in disbelief.
I bet he was gay.
Charlie,
no straight guy is gonna say, you know what this pizza could use? A pineapple ring. God bless him, it's good.
Charlie, is Mom okay?
Of course she's okay. She's faking.
How can you be so sure?
It really doesn't make any difference. If she is faking and we rush to see her, she wins. If she's not faking and we ignore her, she gets to complain about what horrible, ungrateful sons we are, and she still wins.
What if she's not faking and she dies?
Well, look at you, Mr. Glass Half Full.
Charlie and Alan are in a hospital corridor.
I can't help thinking this is all my fault. I mean, I told Mom she couldn't see her grandson anymore, and she got so upset she had a heart attack.
Alan, you forget who you're dealing with. This woman buried two husbands and divorced two others. She's lived through wars, riots, and earthquakes. The only way you're gonna bring her down is with a wooden stake dipped in holy water. Ah, here we are.
They go into a room where their mum is wearing an oxygen mask.
Oh my God, Mommy?
Excuse me? Are you family?
Yeah, we're her sons.
How is she, doctor? Is she gonna be okay? Please tell me she's gonna be okay.
Your mother's gonna be fine. I've run a battery of tests. I can't find a thing wrong with her.
Are you sure?
As sure as I can be. Her heart's fine, lungs are fine, blood chemistry's good, EEG's normal.
Oh, thank God.
Dad!
Charlie's incensed.
Yeah, tell me about it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna tell her she can go home.
Oh, no, please.
Let us.
Yeah, we owe her that.
Suit yourself. Oh, better hurry, though. The nurses are circulating a do-not-revive petition.
You said there was nothing wrong with her.
It's a big hospital. Things happen.
The doctor walks away.
What do we do now?
Don't worry. We got a plan.
Oh, great. He has a plan.
They go inside.
Mom?
Charlie? Is that you?
Alan's here too, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Boys, you didn't have to come.
Are you kidding? Of course we did. Right, Alan?
Of course.
Tell us what happened.
I came home this afternoon alone. I was walking up the stairs alone. And I had trouble breathing. So I drove myself to the hospital. Alone.
Charlie looks at Alan, who frowns.
Why did you drive yourself?
I didn't want to bother the ambulance people.
Why didn't you call us?
Oh, you both made it very clear how you feel about me.
No, that's not fair.
Just tell Jake. His grandmommy loves him very much.
Don't talk like that. You can tell him yourself after the operation.
What operation?
Alan looks as shocked as his mum.
Relax. Quadruple bypasses are routine these days.
Quadruple?
Yeah, you got 4 clogged arteries. Right, Alan?
Right. The doctor said it's lucky you came when you did. Another few days and you'd have been flopping around on the floor like a carp.
She looks terrified.
It's no big deal, Mom. They just crack you open, flush out the pipe, sew you back up, and you're good as new. Except, you know, for the big gnarly scar on your chest.
They're prepping the OR as we speak.
We got the best surgeon available on short notice.
He's young, but really sharp.
And very well respected in his own country.
She eyeballs her 2 sons before looking down solemnly.
Well, all right. If it has to be done. It has to be done.
She holds out her hands for her sons to take. They look at each other, confused.
I love you. If the worst should happen, please remember that.
Yeah, sure,
of course.
Jake and Judith.
Oh, my God, Evelyn, are you all right?
Oh, Judith, is that you?
It's right here. Jake's here, too.
Oh, Jake, come to Grandmommy, darling.
Sorry you feel bad, Grandma.
Oh, Grandmommy's feeling much better now that her little man is here.
Made you a get-well card.
Oh, isn't that nice? The gift shop wasn't open.
Alan and Charlie stroll out.
You said you had a plan. Well, guess what? It was a bad plan.
Alan, calm down.
The plan sucked.
Don't worry.
Don't worry. She's expecting a quadruple bypass. What are we going to do?
We're going to get her one. There must be someone around here who can handle a rib spreader.
Charlie, that's insane.
You're right. There's no time. Better scrub up.
She had to drive herself to the hospital? What is wrong with you two?
Relax, Judith. She's not sick.
What?
She's faking, and we called her bluff, and then she called ours.
So now we're going to have to cut her open. You want in?
Jake comes out.
Hey, guess what? After Grandma's operation, she's going to take me to Magic Mountain. Is that okay, Dad?
Yeah, that's okay. We're going to have to tell her the truth, Charlie.
Are you sure? We don't need to do the bypass. All we got to do is put her out and slice her open. The scar will sell it.
The truth, Charlie.
Alan bustles Charlie in.
Doesn't have to be a big scar.
Okay, doctor, let's schedule this as quickly as possible. Oh, great. I'll be here. Hello, boys.
What are you doing?
Well, if I'm going to have surgery, I want my own doctor.
Mom, you don't really need a surgeon.
Oh, but I do. Your quadruple bypass story makes the perfect cover for a little nip-tuck. No turkey neck for Grandmommy, right? Now, about Jake, I told him I'd take him to Magic Mountain, but you know how I feel about direct sunlight.
Yeah, and wolfbane.
You'll take him for me, won't you, Charlie?
Sure, Mom.
I'll make it up to him by taking him out for a haircut and some decent clothes. He'll like that.
Sure, Mom.
Maybe when his mother sees how nice he could look, she'll take the hint and stop dressing him like a tackling dummy.
She applies her makeup.
Oh, the food here is just dreadful. So why don't you boys run across the street and get me a nice grilled ahi tuna? Charlie, what in God's name are you doing?
He pulls the plug on her monitor.
Just practicing.
Back home, Charlie's watching another documentary.
The worker bees, or drones, live a life of utter devotion to their queen.
You had a plan.
From birth. These industrious yet mindless creatures slave away to fulfill the queen's every need.
Don't worry, Alan. I have a plan.
Until finally they reach the end of their brief lifespan and die, becoming food and building materials for the rest of the hive.
Alan, where's my sandwich?
Coming, Mom.
A cruel existence? Perhaps. But that's life on the animal.
ITFC audio description.